Not today, Bubba.
Go get him, Bubba. Love you.
Not today, Bubba. Gordy. Gordy, can I bother you for a second? Well, folks, before I break into an obnoxiously loud "all right, folks" to get this show started, let me just go ahead and remind you that the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by Postmates. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a bottle of wine after work, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. That's where Postmates come in. Now, promo code BROBIBLE. That's BROBIBLE, B-R-O-B-I-B-L-E, no space, BROBIBLE, gets you $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That's promo code BROBIBLE for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days. Postmate that. All right, folks, coming to you live. If you don't know the drill by now, you sure as hell should. We do this here on the Brilliantly Dumb Show Tuesday after Friday, Tuesday after Friday, Tuesday after Friday. I'm Big Game Bob. Behind the glass, you're looking at no other than Grace Ibrahim on the ones and twos. Today, folks, taking you over to our interview with former NBA superstar Darren Williams, friend of the pod. You could put another one on the board there. Excited about this one. John Taffer reviews of that interview is on YouTube as well that we posted yesterday. Spotify, all that good stuff, however you're listening. So excited about that. Here he is. That was a bonus podcast yesterday. Now we give you Darren Williams today, followed by Friday, back to our roots, me and Grace Ibrahim on the vocals on the ones and twos. That'll be Friday. I know some people like one interview, one podcast. That's what we like to do, so you still get, you know, our usual audio podcast, just like the way we used to do things. So we'll stick with that. Again, just the bonus podcast yesterday and today, Friday, back to our roots. Folks, enjoy the show. This is former NBA superstar Darren Williams. Enjoy. By the way, Dave, we're working with a little bit of adversity here. I just spilled the White Claw all over my laptop. So tangerine too. So it's kind of got that tangerine type smell to it.
I never had a White Claw in my life.
You've never gone claws up?
I don't think I ever will. No.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Darren, if there's one thing that I could advise you to, it would be a White Claw. They're light so that you could keep it moving.
Yeah, but are they sweet? Super sweet?
No, not super sweet. You would think tangerine would be, but it's not. And with the way I see you bouncing around on that trampoline all day, it'd be good because it keeps a light in the stomach, you know?
Yeah, I don't drink that much.
All right, well, let's get you rocking and rolling here. You ready to rock and roll, big fella?
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, so here we are, the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We are with Darren Williams, third overall pick in the NBA draft. Three-time NBA All-Star, won 2 gold medals with Team USA. Darren, do you get upset if people don't mention your NBA Skills Championship Award, too?
You know, it does upset me a little bit from time to time. You know,
I mean, that's a big accolade. It really is. All right, so we'll put that on there, too. And then the biggest thing, maybe one of the sweetest golf swings the NBA has seen. When did the golf come about? Because if you thought you were just getting NBA questions, you're wrong about that, Darren.
No, that's good. I don't talk too much basketball.
No, we're talking golf.
You know what? I've been working on it for a while. You know, it looks good, but there's some days. Shit, right now, I don't know where my driver's going.
Wait, you probably haven't been able to get out there for a while, huh?
No, our course is open, actually.
Oh, they are?
The club, I mean, everything else is closed, but you can go out there and walk. I've been walking and carrying my bag.
Good.
The range is shut down, so they turned that into a little par 3 course, which is cool. Walk around and play that. You know, they got tons of rules. You know, you stay away from everybody. And inside all the cups, they got little, like, PVC pipes around the flag. So
yeah, so you just kind of tweezer it up?
Yeah, you don't have to touch down in there.
Darren, in all seriousness, with how much I see you, I think we kind of met through Instagram, though.
Yeah.
Much I see you golfing on Instagram, mm-hmm. do you think you've logged more NBA minutes or more minutes on the golf? It's got to be, and you had a long NBA career.
Definitely more basketball. I mean, are we talking about just game minutes? Are we talking about just everything?
We're talking game minutes, NBA.
Not practices and all that.
Nope, not practices, all that. Mind you, golf's taking you 3.5-4 hours, no?
Shit, sometimes more, depending on
how you're swinging it.
Yeah. You know what? No, there's still no, I don't know. I'd have to like seriously add that up. I mean, I did like 180 rounds last year.
Jesus Christ, Darren, you're getting after it.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Williams gives you the green light. Can you transfer those NBA?
She plays too.
She's an athlete.
She plays too. Yeah. So
how's her golf swing?
It's pretty good. She's like a 15. She's won. I mean, she wins all the damn tournaments, man. I got one club championship to my name. She's got four.
So when they say, you know, all set in stone, they'll say Darren Williams one club golf championship and an NBA Skills Challenge award too.
And I'm set.
And then you're good to go. Have you seen my buddy Joey Coldcuts?
Coldcuts?
Yeah.
What does this dude? His outfits are atrocious. Like. I wonder if it's like all a setup for you. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all have this plan. Like, all right, you come out with a double orange that doesn't match orange with the white belt, and I'm gonna say this.
You know what? In all honesty, I think he definitely does it because he knows I'm gonna roast him. But the fact to me that he even has those fits, it's not like he goes out and gets it the night before. I mean, that's in his drawer.
No, you can tell when he walks up to you, he thinks he looks good. He thinks he's doing something. He really thinks he looks good.
And with the way he's dressed, he better be shooting a 70. For all I care,
what's his cap?
He's actually a very good golfer. He's at about like an 8.
Okay.
He could swing the stick for sure. He looks ridiculous, but he can swing it.
Yeah.
Do you when you were playing in the NBA, were you still able to get out there?
Yeah, I played. I tried to, you know, if we were in a good city. I mean, there's only a certain amount of cities in, you know, January, February, March you can play in the NBA. You know, if you get a couple days in Phoenix or LA or Florida, places like that, you know, I'll definitely try to play.
So did you kind of look forward to going and playing against the Lakers because you know you're going to go get a golf round in?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can look at a schedule and you can kind of tell, you know.
Oh, you're planning it out, Dave.
Or if you had a back-to-back, whether you're going to have that next day off or there's a possibility you're going to have, like, a light practice in the morning. And so, there's days if I find a way at a back-to-back, I definitely was going to play that next day in L.A.
So you're not thinking to yourself, oh, okay, we're going to go against Dallas. I got to worry about Dirk. You're wondering whether or not you're going to be able to go swing the sticks for a little bit in the back of your mind, no?
Yeah, I'm worried about Dirk too.
Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to getting that dub and then going and hitting him.
Who's the best NBA golfer you faced?
Probably Ray. Ray Allen.
God, that guy, just sharpshooter in every aspect.
Yeah, he can play. Ray can play.
What about CP3? I see him being a little stingy on putts. Like he makes you finish out putts and all that stuff.
CP's gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot better, but he hasn't been playing as long. He's just now getting that like that bug where he's like, man, I want to be good.
Right.
We got that NBA NFL thing every summer, and we got our ass kicked last summer.
I thought your guys' team lined up very well.
We were outmatched a little bit.
Really? With you and Ray?
Yeah, they had like from top to bottom, they were stacked.
And I mean, McAfee going against you, you didn't have to anything to worry about there, I wouldn't think, no?
So Scottie Pippen was probably one of the worst on our team.
Oh, Scottie just.
And people were talking about him bad. Like, I had never seen Scottie play, and I still really never saw him, but he went out there and beat Patton in their indie match.
Smoked him?
I don't know if he smoked him, but he beat him like 3-2.
That sound you had to look forward to that trip so much.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
Like no doubt about it.
Like I don't know if we're supposed to be doing it again this year, but I don't know with all this going on.
It's crazy. Well, you know, who's to say even the NBA season will even finish up?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's the main thing is they might still be playing. I don't, you know, I just don't know how.
It's crazy.
I don't know how they're going to be able to finish the season. You know, Dallas is, I don't know what, you know, what the other states are. I know Cali's on lockdown. Y'all are on lockdown. We're on lockdown until May 20th at least.
Darren, so I just got a new driver. I'm just looking at the thing. It's all. Could you imagine buying a new driver and not being able to use it?
You got to set up a range in the house.
I mean, I don't got the Darren Williams pad.
I seen some dude the other day. He put up like a whole bunch of sheets and like he had a little. It's in like a little apartment or something. And he was in there swinging. He moved all the furniture. He moved all the furniture out. He had a little mat.
See, I love that. I love that. You got the simulator down there, no?
I got a simulator, and then I got a little putting green outside. So.
Are you just hacking away at that thing all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, jeez. I play on that. I swing in there a lot.
Darren, let me ask you something on another note. You're a humble guy, okay? You got the Illinois shirt on, okay? Mm-hmm. You're the top dog at Illinois. Were you just the fucking man walking around the campus? I mean, when you think glory days, are you thinking NBA or are you thinking the Fighting Illini days?
You know, college is tough to beat, man. When you're, you know, at a basketball school like we were at the time, you know, and we had the type of season, especially that last year, we had the type of season.
Oh, hell of a run.
Number one the whole year. And we, you know, we were a pretty big deal.
When you were going into that season, though, so you get ready. Now, you guys went to the finals in that March Madness. The year you got drafted, you go to the finals against UNC, right?
Yeah.
You know you're a top five pick. You know it. When you start the tournament, is it safe to say that that's in the back of your head? Or are you so geared into the tournament where you're not even thinking about that at the time?
I think it's hard, especially for me. It was hard to not think about it a little bit because it kind of happened so fast. Like, I really wasn't on, like, even after my sophomore year, I really wasn't on, like, I wasn't really, I don't think I was in any first round mock drafts, you know. I think I might have been in some second rounders.
So it was the junior year that came about?
The last year, yeah. That I left after my junior year when we went to the finals. And so, you know, as we were going through the whole season and, you know, we were winning and, you know, you just see your name jumping up and then your first round and then you're like top 20. And then after the Arizona game, you know, I was like top 10 or whatever. And so, you know, I'd be lying to say I wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
But I was also locked in on trying to win. That was the most important thing. I knew all that was going to take care of itself.
And at the same time, too, you know, when it's all said and done, I mean, your life is going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew before the season was over, I wasn't coming back. You know, I feel like, I mean, it was hard. My mom was actually unemployed. She didn't have a job. I had a baby that was, she turned two during my. No, she was born in 2003. Yeah, she turned two during that February. So, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on that I needed to take care of. So
are you
it was kind of a no-brainer for me.
After you sign, are you just waiting for that direct deposit to hit? I mean, that's got to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, you go from literally having nothing to,
everything.
You know, seeing a lot of zeros in your bank account. It's
well, it makes
definitely
me
life changing.
Even like when you were getting ready to go with the Nets and the Nets offer you $99 million. Are you pissed off if they offer you 97 instead of 99? Do you say, oh man, those cheap bastards?
I didn't have that happen, so I didn't have to worry about it.
And it all just came, huh?
It all came.
It's unbelievable. And then even like, so for the draft, okay, when the draft's coming up, is it safe to say, we just had an NFL prospect on, Jarvis Miller, and I asked him, when the draft is getting ready to go, you got to think, you're looking at some cities and saying, oh shit, I would really like to go there, or like Milwaukee, who had the number one overall pick. Are you thinking, what the hell am I going to do in Milwaukee?
I think for me at that age, like, I didn't really care. Like,
right.
It didn't, I mean, yeah, I didn't work out for Milwaukee. I think it was pretty much everybody knew that Andrew Bogut was going one. He was kind of like there. Where I did think I had a chance to go to was number two, Atlanta. They, at the time, they needed a point guard, and they had like five guys that were like 6'6 to 6'9, like small forward, power forward types. You know, they had Josh Smith, Josh Childress, I think Al Harrington at the time, maybe Al Harrington.
Was Joe Johnson on that?
Joe Johnson was on the team. I mean, and so we figured everybody thought they were going to pick a point guard, either me or Chris Paul or Ray Felton, whoever. And then they went with Marvin Williams. So that would have been a nice city to go to. But, you know, it really didn't matter. I mean, I lived in Champaign, Illinois. I feel like if I lived in Champaign, Illinois, I can make
it. You could go. Milwaukee's not so bad anymore.
Not the Champaign. I didn't have a great time in Champaign because I did.
Nothing against Champaign.
Nothing against Champaign at all. If you're looking at Champaign and you're a college athlete, it's a great town. I'll tell you that much. We had a great time. But
yeah, those are the true glory days.
Yeah. But I was happy to go to Utah. I didn't really Utah was great, man.
It seemed to all work out. Who's a guy where you just dreaded going against, where you knew you were going to have to face him and said, ah, shit, here we go. Maybe from a defensive side of the ball or just overall, where it's like, ah, fuck, here we go again.
You know who gave me the most problems, like, early on in my career was Sam Cassell.
Get out. Sammy Cassell, the Milwaukee guy.
God, Sam Cassell, man. He had his back-to-the-basket game was so good. And I like I studied it because of how he used to mess me up. I mean, we had a scouting report, and Coach Sloan was super old school. We'd have to, like, each guy would have to go around before the game and you know, we'd have a scouting report, we'd have to study it, and then pretty much go around and say something about every guy. I would have a guy, you know, somebody have a guy, whatever. And when we played Sam, he was my guy because he was a point guard and he was a starter.
Oh, geez, that sucks.
And, you know, it was basically watch his pump fakes in the post, you know, in every game he comes down, puts me, you know, just that slow, just boom, boom, here I go, boom.
Gone.
2 minutes later, foul, walking to the bench. Just like, dang.
And then you're gonna ride behind.
The emphasis is don't jump for his pump fake. Don't go for his pump fakes.
And defensively, was he all over you too?
Defensively, no. I mean, you know who gave me – it was the people that used to pick up 94 feet. Daryl Armstrong.
Oh, Jesus.
DA used to pick up. That's all. Like, there was guys back then where their only job when they got in the game was to just turn it up on the defensive end, get after you, you know, be a pest, foul you. Daryl Armstrong, who actually coached me in Dallas and is a great guy. So I talk to him all the time. Like Speedy Claxton.
Oh, geez, you're throwing some good names over here. Like, no ones that people would expect, too.
Like, these, I mean, these are, you know, Ronnie Price, who I played played with and played against. He used to, and after I played with him, it even got worse because, you know, we were friends and he just used to get after me. Earl Watson, guys like that used to just pick up and just. They just tried to annoy you and get under your skin as much as possible.
You know who's a perfect example that I could only just imagine just would be so awful to go up against?
Who's that?
Is Patrick Beverley. You don't know.
Oh, Pat Bev is one of them.
Oh, you so did you faced
you know
him?
You know what's a funny story about
Pat Lay Bev? It on
not
me.
Not a lot of people know this. So you remember when I went to Istanbul?
Yes, during the lockdown.
Yeah, during the lockout, and I played on Beşiktaş. And literally, I had just got over there. I had a whole bunch of troubles in L.A. We get to the airport and come to find out, like, two of our passports were expiring within like a year or whatever the minimum. There's a minimum to where you can go over there. We didn't know this at the time. I'm like 24 years, 25 years old. I don't know. So we got stuck in LA for a couple of days and then finally booked our flights and had to fly separately over there. I'm taking my whole family, wife, four kids over there.
They're all gone.
Yeah, all gone. We go over there. I'm tired. We had all this ordeal. Finally get over there, trying to adjust. my team is in Italy, so I'm flying to meet there. So I literally come in the next day, do my physical, sign all that stuff. Well, I'd already signed, but do my physical and all this other stuff, and then fly out to Italy. Boom, I'm right off to Italy. Get to Italy, meet the team, come in. I was like debating on whether I was like sluggish. Am I going to play or not? I'll play, whatever. I played, and I played like a couple minutes the game just to get kind of used to it.
Yeah.
Next game, we play this team from Russia in Italy. Like all these teams are over there playing in like little preseason. Playing this team, another team from Russia. And I get in the game, and this dude is just D'ing me up, just picking me up, full court.
It's fucking
terrible. I'm like, bro, this is preseason. I'm just trying to get in shape right now. Like, like, you know what? I'm taking it easy.
It's fucking Beverly.
Patrick Beverly.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And he's this, like, he is locked in. Like, this is his moment, right? And that just shows you, like, it's not like people try to act like he, you know, he's kind of, you know, putting up this front. Or like, this is not him. This him. It's like KG. Like KG, people think like he's not like that. He's like that. That is his personality. That's him.
I don't bet against that bastard. Yeah.
And I think Pat gets it a little bit from KG because they're both from Chicago, and so you see that side of him. But I mean, man, he was D'ing me up. He was, and it made me respect him though, because like, you know, especially to see where he came from, you know, battling back into the NBA. You know, from being overseas and now having a really, really productive NBA career.
You know what's great with him, too? You could watch the game. Don't look at the scoreboard, and you would never know if the Clippers are down 50 or up 50 the way he's playing.
For sure.
He's a pest.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's one of those ones that tries to just anything he can do to just piss you off. Like, after the whistle blows, he'll come over and bump you or hit the ball out of your hand. Just the stuff just to, you know, to mess with you, just to fuck with you.
Hold on, folks. Do not go anywhere just yet. I know I'm not going anywhere. Grace Ibrahim definitely isn't going anywhere either. We just have to interrupt this show to let you know that the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by Postmates. Postmates does anything and everything, but Postmates doesn't just deliver your standard burgers and sushi. They make my life easier. You could send these guys to grocery stores. I've seen a couple at the Staples Center. If you like the Staples Center Cracker Jacks, send your Postmates delivery guy to Section 116 for some Cracker Jacks. They do everything, and now for a limited time, Postmates is giving you listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days if you type in promo code BROBIBLE. One word, BROBIBLE. That's code BROBIBLE for $100 of free delivery credit. No minimum purchase. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Moving on.
Let's say you have to go play a game in Rucker Park, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Full-blown street ball, no fouls, nothing. Mm-hmm. And you want to just bring a dog with you, somebody who's just a rough rider. Who are you bringing, Beverly, or would you bring a Sam Cassell?
No, I'd bring one of my favorite teammates is Earl Watson. I'd probably bring Earl there.
Really?
Yeah, he would love that. He would thrive in that type of environment.
Tough son of a gun.
Yeah, for sure.
What is the you've played a year with LeBron. What's the LeBron effect like from teams that you've been on and then instantly traveling with the Beatles? Is it that big of an effect?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, the atmosphere when he's in an arena is different. Like, you know, say I'm playing on the Jazz, and we had a pretty good team, right?
Yeah.
You know, we had a solid team, but when we were like Memphis or some of these teams that weren't very good at the time, this is before, you know, Mike Conley and Gasol and all these guys got there. When we would go there, there wasn't a big buzz in the arena. You know, it was just like another game. Like, oh, okay, if something exciting happened, yeah, they might get into it. Or if their team started winning, they might get into it a little bit. Whenever you go, wherever arena you go to, no matter what that team is like, everybody is in there already. Everybody's on their feet from the moment you run out on the court. It's just a whole nother world. You know, you saw that with Kobe and the Lakers. They were like that. Anytime they came to your building, I mean, anytime you went there, it's just a different atmosphere.
The with Kobe, the competitive edge is something that always gets brought up with him. You know, you hear all these stories and stuff. Was it that strong with Kobe? Like, could you feel it on the court?
For sure. I mean, I used to feel like Ronnie Brewer. I don't know if you remember Ronnie Brewer.
Yeah, I do. He was a Gator, right?
Huh?
Ronnie Brewer was a Gator, I think, right?
No, Arkansas Razorbacks.
Oh, okay.
Play with me in
I'm thinking of Corey.
In Utah, then he played in Chicago on some of the good teams with Rose and Boozer and
right.
Kyle Korver and those guys. I used to I was nervous for him going into the games because here he is and he was solid for us, you know, starter and played a big role for us, probably averaged, you know, 12 points a game. But here he is. He's got to go against the best scorer in the NBA that has an ultra green light.
Constantly.
Ultra green light, right? And he doesn't have that same green light. So it's like you are just going out there and you're playing your role on offense, you know, getting in where you fit in. And then you got to guard this animal, the Mamba, for 40 minutes in the playoff when you know he's locked and loaded and ain't playing around. And it's just like, it's just one of those things where it's deflating because some of the shots he hits on you when he pump fakes six times and you got three teammates coming over to help you and he still cashes it over you. And it's like, you look at the coach like, what do you want me to do?
It's kind of like a lose-lose because he's not going to, Brewer's not going to drop 25. You know Kobe's.
Every now and then, but not, no.
No, Kobe's dropping nothing short of 20. We know that. What about – so even the Olympics, okay, mm-hmm. when you put on two Olympic teams, no?
Yep.
Were you guys going at it in practice or 100%. Was it a little pullback? Going at it.
100%. So you get, you know, 15 of the best players in the world on the same court. There's no way, especially with the competitors we had. Like, everybody on our team was competitive. You know, first team we had, you know, Kobe, Bron, Jason Kidd, you know, Melo, D-Wade. You know, it's just like CP. You know, it was just every practice was competitive. After practice, it was competitive. You know, getting shots up, we're competing. You know, that's just how it was. And I mean, we all grew up, you know, seeing the documentaries about the Dream Team and seeing, you know, watching them play and seeing what, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, when Mike pretty much took over and when they, you know, that little clip they always show about, you know, practice when him and Magic were going at it.
Best like game ever played.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that it's always stuck in my mind. So, yeah, it was hard not to compete when you're in the gym with these guys.
You know what I think about, Darren, and you're going to think this may sound a little ridiculous. It may. You guys are in the Olympics. Okay, where were you? Where was the Olympics at that time?
First one was Beijing. Second one was London.
Okay, so you're in London, all right? Practice is all over. All that stuff is done.
Mm-hmm.
Is there somebody making plans, dinner plans? Does Kevin Durant get upset at you and Kyrie if you and Kyrie go out to dinner and you don't invite Durant and LeBron? Or is everybody all together?
No, during the actual Olympics, we're pretty much together most of the time. And then we were always playing. Like, we always had, like, a room in the hotel, like a lounge type thing where we could go and get food and hang out. They had tables in there set up and stuff. We'd watch film or whatever. And then when we weren't using it for that stuff, we were playing. We were gambling a lot, playing a lot of cards.
I bet.
So that took a lot of our time. You know, we went out. I think we went out a little bit, but not like that. We were about business.
Biggest contract picking up the checks, or do you have to owe LeBron? Does LeBron say, "Hey, Darren, Venmo me"?
No, we split it.
Yeah,
everybody.
Six cards are going down.
Well,
the table.
Well, I mean, it depends on the team too. We do the card. You know, the credit card roulette from time to time.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
That's good. Unless you're one of those guys that just has a magnet. Or you seem to get picked every time.
See, we've done that with Joey Coldcuts, and he always gets it because I got this thin little debit card.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one you put up. He puts out this big Amex.
So do y'all do first person or last person?
So what we'll do is we'll tell the server, we make it very clear we're playing a game of credit card roulette.
Yeah.
We'd like you to go ahead and pick one. And then what we do is we let him go over to the POS system, clock, swipe it, all that good stuff, and then tell us which one he did.
See, we always put it in a hat.
See, put it in a hat. Style better, actually.
And then draw it right there in front of everybody, and the last one left. So as you pull it out, and you know it's yours, you're like, here, and they give it back to you.
Oh,
like
see,
you're just anticipating, like, oh, come on. Oh, thank God.
I love it. It keeps the hype going. It keeps the adrenaline pumping rather than just one.
Especially if you get a little expensive bottle of wine or something.
Which I'm sure you guys were rolling out from time to time. Yeah. I mean,
J.R. Smith got me a couple, like, this summer. We were in San Francisco and we went out to dinner, and he comes in, he wanted to order a bottle of Harlan, which is, you know, a nice little price tag. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't nobody else's idea at the table.
Right.
I'm thinking, all right, Swish is going to take care of it. Okay, Swish. Man, he pulls an okie doke at the end of the night. He's like, oh, yeah, credit card roulette. Like, of course, I'm the one that gets stuck with it. Yeah, I remember this one.
Does one guy take over the ordering? Are we going family style at the Olympics? Or are we going every man out for themselves?
Well, we had, so like during the Olympics, especially we had a chef with us. And so he was in the hotel and like oversaw, like in Beijing, it was a little more complicated because they wouldn't allow him to like physically touch any food. So he was in there like instructing them what to do and what to make. And so, like, because we had our family, everybody had family and stuff with us. So we had this big, that's what I'm saying, we had this big room where everybody would eat. And the women's basketball was there as well. So they had them and all their families, coaches. So everybody would usually eat there. Now, if we went out separately, yeah, it just depended on the restaurant, I think.
Right.
What we would do.
Darren, what's next for you? You want to keep playing golf? And I know you're big into MMA, no?
Yeah. Yeah, I own an MMA gym in Dallas, Fortis MMA.
Look at you.
So I'm involved, but like kind of in the background of that, my business partner, Saif Saud, is the head coach and, does a great job of running the gym. I mean, that's his business, you know, that's what he's known all his life. So I don't try to butt in where I don't need to be. But, we have, I don't even know the number right now of how many, men and women we have in the UFC, but it's probably around 10 men, and we got two women in the UFC, and then we got a bunch of other ones that are on the verge.
How do you feel about UFC Island going down?
You know, it's crazy. I'm like torn, you know, because it's like I see kind of what's going on, and I know like these guys and girls they need money. I mean, like anybody else that's out of work.
Yeah.
You know, and especially their job is so different, you know, because, you know, they're not getting a paycheck on the 1st and the 15th. You know, they're going through an 8-week camp and hopefully they don't get hurt. And hopefully whoever they're fighting doesn't get hurt. And it works out to where they fight and they get a chance to fight for their money, for their purse. And then if they win, hopefully get another check and maybe get a bonus $50,000 for a knockout. But if not, you know, they're only walking away with.
Oh, so do they drop down more on a knockout?
Well, so a lot of people have a show and win money. So, you know, say they get $10,000 to show. So they get $10,000 for showing up to the fight. And then if they win, they get another $10,000. And then there's three performance of the night bonuses now for every fight card. So, you know, knockout of the night, or performance of the night, knockout of the night, and fight of the night. And so you can get an extra $50,000 if you get one of those bonuses. I guess you can get multiple bonuses, but for the most part, you know, one bonus.
You know, it's funny. It's like with the UFC, it's like Dana White, it's like he can't imagine life without it. It's not like an Adam Silver where it's just sit back and...
Yeah, I get it. I get it because fighting is a little different where it's one-on-one, you know? And so it's a little more controlled, but it's still contact and it's still risky. And that's where the part I'm touring. Like, I know that these guys, girls need money. I know that the world needs sports, you know, and I understand his position as a businessman where if he can make this happen, everybody in the world is going to tune in. Everybody. I don't care if you're not if you hate MMA, I guarantee you, you still turn in.
No doubt about it, Darren. No doubt. What else are you going to do? It's like when you said you needed an extra 15 minutes till you get on the interview. Where was I going? You said, yeah, can I do an extra 15 minutes? Where am I going to go? Am I wrong, D?
Yeah. I did an Instagram Live, and they're like, he's like, with this guy named Lethal Shooter.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so he was like, yeah, I know you're a busy man. I'm like, well.
Not really.
Probably not that busy right now, you know. It's hard for me to narrow down times, like, because I'm always doing stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, the kids and stuff, but I really don't got much to do.
You imagine getting coronavirus by getting a hammer fist? Like, that's what did it, is a hammer fist to the face, the next thing you know.
And now you got to go quarantine with a broke jaw.
Yeah, broke jaw and all the other shit that comes with it. Yeah. Darren, I'm telling you, man, you are awesome. I've been trying to get this going. I'm glad we were able to make this happen. Pleasure as always. Anytime you want to come back on the pod, you know you're more than welcome. Just say the word. I'm not going to be doing anything.
I just want to make sure I get around with you and Joey Cold Cuts.
It's a done. When this is over, I'll fly my ass to Dallas right away. We could even play the fucking simulator. But we're getting on.
No,
there.
We're going outside. I need the elements.
If he comes on with one of those with that attire, are you still playing the round or are you calling it quits?
With the pink on pink, with orange socks and orange shoes, he can still get out there.
And you can't tell this guy that there's a better golfer out there than him, although there's tons. So make sure you get the juice flowing as far as waivers.
So he thinks he's like that.
It's just his mentality. I just think he shows up. It's a Patrick Beverly mentality. Patrick Beverly probably thinks he has Kobe Bryant's jumper.
What's y'all's game?
What do you mean?
When y'all gamble? I know y'all got a bet.
Oh, yeah. We'll play skins. I'm not up to par. So I'm a consistent 90.
Oh, so at my course, you'd probably shoot a 110 then.
Oh, Jesus, is that rough?
Yeah, it's rough.
Maybe you come out to L.A. then? Let's switch this itinerary, Darren. Well, you know what? I even started a thing on my Instagram and I said Bobby Fairway's going up against Darren Williams and you reposted it. And that was before I dove into your golf swing.
Yeah.
I took down that post so goddamn fast. I didn't want it. I didn't want any traction going around that.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to give you a lot of pops. Do you have a handicap? Do you have an established handicap?
I wish I could say I do.
Dude,
no.
That's dangerous. Guys like you are dangerous. Like, oh, yeah, I'm around. No, what are you? I need to know what you are. Post your scores. I don't want to.
What bothers me, I haven't been playing long, but what bothers me, if somebody says they're a 10 handicap, by regulation, there's no way they're a 10. With as far as the taking putts away and, you know, bump, I just feel like 5% of people actually go by their actual handicap as far as finishing putts and all that good stuff. Not to say I like to play that.
No, for sure.
But would you agree?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I know guys that are professional sandbaggers.
Yeah.
Professional sandbaggers. Like,
what's the Darren Williams handicap?
Really good. Right now I'm like a 1.6 or something like that. Oh, honestly, I haven't checked because we ain't really been. I haven't been playing with anybody.
It's not much to check.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I play most of the guys I play with in my club, we just play scratch games. So we just play straight up for the most part.
I can't imagine the money that's going around there. I mean, it's got to be a little nerve wracking. Am I wrong?
I have some guys that I gamble with, but I don't play for like anything that's like going to, you know, scare you.
You know. What do you get more nervous for, a free throw in the NBA Finals Game 7 or a 10-foot putt for $5,000, for $1,000?
Well, I mean, the NBA Finals is a little higher stakes than $1,000.
But you make
– like a 4-foot, like, breaking a cup for $1 million.
that's what we're getting.
A four-footer breaking a cup for a million, maybe a five-footer. That's a tough. That's tough.
Like little right to left.
Downhill, too.
See, I'm just a classic. Just roll that sucker on by with a lot of steam behind it.
Yeah, well, then you're looking at a 12-footer back up the hill.
Right, and then I'll probably make it into a 6-footer after that putt and a 2-footer after that putt. Can we get that going, Darren? I'm serious.
What?
Us, we're going to fly out to Dallas. We're going to hype the match. I'm in there. Don't get me wrong. I am in the mix. But what we're really going to hype is you and Cold Cuts, because he's showing up to that course thinking, no way, I don't care who Darren Williams
is. Hey, you got to edit this part out where I tell how hard it is.
Is it rough?
It's the hardest rated course in Texas.
Jesus Christ, you don't have another course in Texas you could
take?
Yeah,
we can play other, but I mean, we can play up, but literally from the, like, this is the one course I played Augusta last year. I played the tips. Pine Valley, played the tips. Anywhere I go, I play the tips. Pebble, I think I played the tips one time, Pebble too. I have not played at my own course from the tips yet.
But you've played Augusta from the tips.
I refuse.
Is it that rough?
It's 80.5, 155.
Darren, pick another course.
Well, we don't play the tips. We'll play up.
Pick a different course, would you?
No, but it'll be fun for the match though. There's water in play on 14 holes.
See, that it's such an advantage to you in the sense of Cold Cuts he's one of those angry guys. Where if it's a bad round, it's going to be a bad round for you, too. You don't want to be in that golf cart.
No, I'll enjoy it.
And he'll fold like a cheap suit, huh? You're going to get into his head a little bit?
If you want me to talk to him.
Without a doubt. We got to hype the match.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, I'm going to hype the living shit out of it. Darren Williams going up against Joey Coldcuts. And come back on the pod so we can hype it some more before.
For sure.
All right, brother. You're the best in the business. You know that?
All right, man. You too.
Take care. Always a pleasure, Dave.
All right, man.
Have a good one.
Yep, be easy.
I tell you, Grace, I love that one. I really do. Growing up, Darren Williams was it. I mean, that was the guy. There was a time for a couple years where he was a top 5 player in the NBA. I mean, this guy was unstoppable. New Jersey Net, which is my home turf. Now the Brooklyn Nets. But either way, just a great guy. Really gave me a lot. You know, there really wasn't anything off limits. And to be quite frank with you, Grace, I think he's dead serious, and I'm going to hold him to it in regards to that Dallas trip with Joey Coldcuts. I really think Williams is all for it. He's a big golfer. We're big golfers, so why not? Fuck it. So stay tuned to that content when this is all over, hopefully sooner than later. Folks, that does it here on the Brilliantly Dumb Show. Again, we will see you Friday. Back to our regular scheduled programming there on the audio. See you then. Stay safe. Stay quarantined. You take care now, folks.